From Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls and the Book of the Month show with Jill Appleton, Jill Prowse, and Rob Nichols, this is Shane Rimmer congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this podcast.
For our April Book of the Month, we have been reading a thriller that has topped the bestsellers list across Europe. The book is called The Hypnotist and was written by husband and wife team who go under the name of Lars Kepler. At the pinnacle of his career, psychotherapist Eric Marie Bach used hypnotism to make breakthrough progress with severely traumatised patients. When one of his patients in his group made a complaint about him, he vowed never to hypnotise again. Fast forward 10 years, 15-year-old Joseph Eck lies in a hospital bed with serious knife wounds. His parents and his little sister have been murdered, and the police fear that his older sister Evelyn's life may be in danger. Detective Inspector Una Lena persuades Eric Bach to hypnotise Joseph to discover what the young victim has seen.
Tuesday, December the 8th. Early morning. Eric Maria Bach returns to the patient. Standing in front of the bed, he studies the pale, damaged face, the shallow breathing, the frozen grey lips. Eric says the boy's name, and something passes painfully across the face. Joseph, he says once again quietly, my name is Eric Maria Bach. I'm a doctor, and I'm going to examine you. You can nod if you like, if you understand what I'm saying. The boy is lying completely still, his stomach moving in time with his short breaths. Eric is convinced that the boy understands his words, but the level of consciousness abruptly drops. Contact is broken. When Eric leaves the room half an hour later, both Daniela and the detective look at him expectantly. Eric shakes his head. He's our only witness, Una repeats. Someone has killed his father, his mother, and his little sister. The same person is almost certainly on his way to the older sister right now. We know that, Daniela snaps. Eric raises a hand to stop the bickering. We understand it's important to talk to him, but it's simply not possible. We can't just give him a shake and tell him his whole family is dead. What about hypnosis? Says Una, almost offhandedly. Silence falls in the room. No. Eric whispers to himself. Wouldn't hypnosis work? I don't know anything about that, Eric replies. How could that be? You yourself are a famous hypnotist, the best I heard. I was a fake, says Eric. That's not what I think, says Una. And this is an emergency. Daniela flushes and, smiling inwardly, studies the floor. I can't, says Eric. I'm actually the person responsible for the patient, says Daniela, raising her voice, and I'm not particularly keen on letting him be hypnotised. But if it wasn't dangerous for the patient, in your judgment, asks Una. Eric now realises that the detective has been thinking of hypnosis as a possible shortcut right from the start. Una Lina has asked him to come to the hospital purely to convince him to hypnotise the patient, not because he is an expert in treating acute shock and trauma. I promised myself I would never use hypnosis again, says Eric. Okay, I understand, says Una. I had heard you were the best, but I have to respect your decision. I'm sorry, says Eric. He looks at the patient through the window in the door and turns to Daniela. Has he been given desmopressin? No, I thought I'd wait a while, she replies. Why? The risk of thromboembolic complications. I've been following the debate, but I don't agree with the concerns. I give my son desmopressin all the time, says Eric. How is Benjamin doing? He must be, what, 15 now? 14, says Eric. Una gets up laboriously from his chair. I'd be grateful if you could recommend another hypnotist, he says. We don't even know if the patient is going to regain consciousness, replies Daniela, but I'd like to try. And he does have to be conscious in order to be hypnotized, she says, pursing her mouth slightly. He was listening when Eric was talking to him, says Una. I don't think so, she murmurs. Eric disagrees. He could definitely hear me. We could save his sister, Una goes on. I'm going home now, says Eric quietly. Give the patient desmopressin and Think about trying the pressure chamber.
Breaking his vow to abandon hypnosis, Eric unleashes a terrifying chain of events that makes his own family the target of lethal vengeance. The Hypnotist is set in Sweden, but the characters, the dilemmas and the unsettling murder case has all the twists and turns you'd expect from a psychological thriller. The book is about the influence of family bonds, which carry both positive and destructive elements.
Wednesday, December 16th, morning. Eric gives a start, and the hand holding the coffee cup jerks and spills the liquid all over his jacket and shirt cuffs. Una turns to him in surprise and, without a word, pulls a tissue from a box of Kleenex on the dashboard. Eric looks out at the big yellow wooden house, the garden, the lawn, and the enormous Winnie the Pooh with the fangs drawn on it. "Is she violent?" asks Una. "Who?" "Eva Blau." "Maybe. I mean, she's certainly capable of it." Una switches off the engine and they get out of the car. "Just don't expect too much," he says in a melancholy tone. "Liselotte Blau might have nothing to do with Eva." "No," Eric replies absently. They walk up a path made of flat, dark grey slate. A heavy white veil of little snowflakes whirls in the air. "We have to be careful," says Una, "because this could actually be the haunted house." His face lights up in a faint smile. Eric stops in the middle of the path. The wet fabric around his wrist has grown cold. He smells of stale coffee. "I should explain. The haunted house is a house in the former Yugoslavia," he says. "It's also an apartment in Jakobsburg, a gym in Stocksund, a pale greenhouse up in Dorotea, and so on." He can't help smiling as he meets Una's questioning gaze. "The haunted house isn't a specific place. It's a term my hypnosis group adopted," he explains. "One member called the place where he'd been traumatized the haunted house, and it became what we called anywhere that their abuse had taken place." "I think I understand," says Una. "Where was Eva Blau's haunted house?" "That's the problem. She was the only one who didn't find her way there. Unlike the rest of the group, she never described a central place." "Well, maybe this is it," says Una. They stride up the path. Eric fumbles in his pocket for the box with the parrot and the native on it. He feels sick, as if his emotional responses to the events he's recalled have been suspended in his nerve centre, as powerful and confusing as ever. He wants to take one of his pills, yearns for a pill, but he knows he must remain absolutely clear-headed. He has to find Benjamin. He has to stop taking the pills. He can't go on like this. He can't keep hiding. He pushes the doorbell, hearing the deep chime through thick wood. He waits, although he wants to pull the door open, rush inside and shout Benjamin's name. Una's hand is tucked inside his jacket. After a little while, the door is opened by a young woman with glasses, red hair and a patch of tiny scars on each cheek. Eric studies her carefully. "We're looking for Liselotte Blau," says Una. "That's me," she replies warily. Una looks at Eric, who shakes his head slightly. "This is not Eva." "Oh, we're actually looking for Eva," Una says. "Eva?" "I don't know any Eva." "What's this about?" asks the woman. Una shows her his police ID and asks if they can come in for a while. She hesitates, looking back nervously into the house. "Oh, talk to us out here, if you prefer. You should put on a jacket, though. It's chilly," he says. A few minutes later, they are standing on the lawn, crunchy underfoot with frost, their breath forming white condensation in the air as they speak. "I live alone," she says, hugging herself. "Big house," Una says, nodding at the large structure. The woman smiles thinly. "I'm in a fortunate position." "Is Eva Blau a relative?" "I told you I don't know anyone called Eva Blau." Una shows her three pictures of Eva that he has taken from the video recording, but the red-haired woman simply shakes her head. "Look closely," says Una firmly. "Don't tell me what to do," she snaps. "I'm asking for now." "I pay your salary," she says. "My taxes pay your salary. Please, look at the pictures. I've never seen her." "This is important," Eric says. "To you, maybe, but not to me." "She calls herself Eva Blau," Una goes on. "Blau is quite an unusual name in Sweden. Eric sees a curtain suddenly sway in an upstairs window. He bolts for the house as the others call after him.
The mind is definitely the deadliest weapon in this book, bringing about disturbing acts of violence. Even so, this book really grabs you, and following Una Lena's investigation is fascinating. Each chapter is full of new revelations, all unfolding against the backdrop of Sweden's haunting landscapes. A very exciting read for those who enjoy a psychological thriller, but beware, this is not for the faint-hearted.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate residential elderly and residential EMI service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334. That's 01642 223334. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
Book of the Month. More than a podcast, greater than a radio show, quite simply an audio treat for the enlightened with Jill Appleton and Jill Prowse. And every so often, some extremely lovely...
Lincoln writers. Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
To see just how much more Lincoln Inspired can make you... Go to lincolninspired.co.uk and explore the inspiration.
Hi, this is Jean Bruce Scott.
And Randy Reinholz.
And when we're not busily producing some of the most outstanding Native American theater in Los Angeles...
We always like to check out the best of British audio adventures with Alex Lefchuk and his team of the Midweek Drive.
And Midweek Drive morning editions on Siren FM.
And southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com.
Yeah, I knew you'd get it right in the end. Welcome along to the Book of the Month thing. Of course, it's Jill Appleton's show, and quite rightly so as well. And no Jill Prowse today, because we had to reschedule and sort out all other bits and pieces. But Rob Nichols is in the studio. Hurrah! Ferocious, visceral storytelling that wraps you in a cloak of darkness. It's stunning, according to that bastion of balance, the Daily Mail. Rob, thoughts on The Hypnotist by Lars Kepler.
I read it in a couple of days, and it's quite a long book, isn't it? So it really did grip me, it is fair to say. One in a sort of genre of Scandinavian thrillers, it's incredible how many and the quality of output. We see a lot of series on TV as well, across the channels, as well as in the book domain. So it's amazing how that happens. That sort of, but this is I would recommend this definitely to anyone. Really good.
Okay. I'm sort of going, there, because maybe it's because there's such a proliferation of Scandinavian, or Scandi crime, as I think it's referred to these days. It's almost become more popular than what used to take place in Oxfordshire with Inspector Morse and various other things. Maybe I found this a little bit, like yourself, I read it rather quick. I mean, worked through it. It is generally well written. It is well put together. However, the girl with the dragon tattoo, oh, we have tattoos in here. Oh, we have psychological sort of climates. We have weather conditions. It just was ticking on. And also, I found there was a bizarre ending, really, which I thought was almost surreal. I'm not sure if I can actually collect the whole thing. There were also lots of product placement. We actually had the Kleenex tissue ad there, shamelessly put into the reading we had there. But in the end, the family, without doing small, they end up in the sign of the Golden Arches. And they say, you know, oh, let's go and get a Big Mac and various. And I'm thinking, the just areas where I just thought, well, I know Swedish folk have got their own cultural scenario, and the way and the pace in which it was written was you know, quite extraordinary in its own way. I think there was a line which came through after they talk about we need a lot of help now. There's a whole range of things that work through there. Simon and Eric wanted to be alone with their own son, and then they go off to this whole story. Are you suggesting we have Christmas dinner at McDonald's? So I just thought that it was that, and there was also a lot in it. There was an awful lot in it of folk where initially, I must admit, I was thinking that it was going to be the psychologist or the hypnotist himself who might have turned out to be the bad guy.
Right.
You know, that was one thing, which is that I'm not giving any, so hopefully, because obviously you could in all sorts of ways.
Christie book, isn't there, where the narrator is actually the
indeed
twist.
And there were other areas where it's obviously the first in a series of clearly there is a second book with Detective Inspector Una Linna, who I thought came across reasonable, a kind of cross between Monk and Columbo, I felt, really. I mean, that was the sort of thing with probably a bit of Van der Valk thrown in for the Scandinavian aspect there as well. I mean, you may be getting from this that I wasn't necessarily. I mean, certainly, I wasn't necessarily in favour of the visceral nature of the writing, and maybe I was taking a line thinking, well, I hope this isn't a kind of, you know, a hodgepodge of, oh, well, let's take your Myra Hindley killings, let's take your Janie Bulger horror things, let's take your child abductions and various other factors coming there. Also, I did feel that the young man in his kidnap escapes, etc., I felt he probably was maybe a little bit too fit when he was going through the freezing cold routine, and the bus sinking scenario. Again, I thought, oh, I don't know where we're going with this, etc. It just seemed as though it was almost, we'll put that in. And, I mean, Jill, you made the point that Lars Kepler isn't a real person. It's an amalgam and a nom de plume of a husband and wife team.
Oh, is that right?
And I'm kind of thinking, I mean, I know number one best-selling international sensation ranks along The Silence of the Lambs and The Shining. Yeah, I mean, you've got Clarice Starling and Hannibal Lecter, and you've clearly got The Shining and the ghost story in the country, and Jack Nicholson's immortal portrayal in Stephen King's aspect there. It is going to be a movie directed by Lasse Hellström. But that sort of joint writing thing, I kind of sensed, it'd be interesting, maybe we need to do a follow-up on this, who wrote which bits? Because there's some, let's be honest, quite hardcore graphic imagery that's there, which I'd be fascinated to see which part or which person, or did they actually, in terms of that joint. Jill Appleton, I mean, you shared with the whole thing, gripping read. I mean, I know you like your Grand Guignol and visceral drama, etc.
I enjoyed it.
I thought I
liked the chapters were really short. But each one got straight in there, and there was something exciting happening.
Part, of course, from one chapter, which was when he goes back 10 years.
Oh, yeah, goes
on
into the book. Exactly. There is a long bit of telling you about this.
And I'm thinking, with respect to that 10-year piece that's there, apart from putting in a number of red herrings and saying it's her, no, it's him, no, it's her, no, it's him, maybe it's both of them, no, it's him, no, it's definitely that one, no, it's that one, it's this one. I think that was the moment when I thought, beginning to get a little bit irritated there. And I was thinking, you know, that's
well,
good.
I didn't think that. I enjoyed it. I found it was, it is a bit gory in some parts, some violent scenes in it, but.
You see, we're talking brand names. We've mentioned two. Pokemon. Another line.
Well, I never noticed that.
Are they sponsored?
You read into all these things, and it didn't. These things didn't. And
One spends so much time working in the broadcasting media that you sort of think there's another brand name. You know, are they paid for this? I mean, they could have said a burger joint. They didn't have to give the name away for the whole thing.
I think it's the same with the other Scandinavian books that they're full of details about the sort of phones they're using and the computers and things, down to the exact models. Yeah. I think it's still trying to pin themselves in very much in the present and make you aware all the way through that they're living in this world in 2012 or whatever it was.
Which I think is a fair point, but as a technique, it becomes boring after a time. Sorry.
And that girl with a dragon tattoo. Yeah. Those books were written with his girlfriend helped with those books, and of course because he died without a will and everything, there's a big sort of legal wrangle there, isn't it?
And that's exactly the reason why I'm sort of thinking, you know, is it just a case of it's murder by numbers to a certain extent? I think, oh, this is great, and it's a bestseller. Well, of course it is. It's written by a computer or husband and wife.
But there's an awful lot of books that are coming out of not just Sweden but Norway and Denmark and you're right. When you band them all together, it makes a it's attractive because you might not give those a second chance. I still think it's got a lot of merits on its own, and I don't really agree with you about the. I don't think there's any pointless twists. I think you see so many like horror films and there's the twist at the end, which is ridiculous, but there isn't anything like that. I think
it's kind of pulled it together.
Because
at the beginning I thought it was going to be a storyline about the boy in the hospital, and it kind of moves on from there.
Yeah, best not go into his disturbances, basically.
But it moves on to a different storyline altogether. In fact, there's a few storylines
certainly, you know, a classic range of little narrative tropes and storylines that work through on this whole process. Which, maybe it's a bit like the furniture. I was left at the end with a couple of bits, and I thought, you know, I put it all together, and you know, where is it from that well-worn furniture band? Which, you know. So there we have it. But I'm interested to see how the movie. And funnily enough, part of the thing I felt was dealt with a lot better in terms of building up the tension with the one we had a year or so ago called The Room, I think, when it was the child abduction. Where I thought that actually worked a lot better when we're talking about those kind of issues. And I just felt that for the abduction of the, is he 16? I think he's 16 years old, or was he 14? I think he was 16. But anyway, the whole sort of divertissement to his girlfriend and the connection with that. I mean, admittedly, it's predicated on the fact that Scandinavia used to have, I think, regressively high suicide rates, and that's something that comes through from that. Probably if they're reading this, no, I wouldn't say that was just. not sure whether I'd necessarily say it was stunning. In fact, I certainly wouldn't. I'd say it took me by storm, and I don't think, I'm sorry, Marie Claire, and the thing that I'd say, it's a classic. I would say it's a brutal crime, missing child, and an irresistible detective, but. Marks from yourself, Rob Nichols.
I'm going for 8.5.
8.5, yeah.
I think I'll give it a 9.
A 9. It was an 8.5, but for me it's 6 out of 10.
Ooh.
For the reasons I've gone through, and I'll stand by that, and we'll work through that. Okie dokie. Well, that wraps up the April Book of the Month thing. What's coming up in May?
Well, we've got World Book Night on the 23rd of April. And if you go to Middlesbrough Central Library that night, there will be lots of free books being given away. And I am going to be giving away a book called Me Before You by Jojo Moyes. So I thought we would read that book.
Splendid. It's wonderful stuff. And also, whilst we're talking about supporting literary festivals, there is, of course, the Lincoln Inspired Festival of Literature, Performance and Art, taking place between the 7th and 12th of May. Lincolninspired.co.uk. Some good folk who obviously have been involved in past Teesside events are also there. Mike Pannett is there with the Yorkshire Policeman's Lot. He spoke very highly of us. You know, pleased to know where we interviewed him and remembered that. Obviously, keen to know when we're going to feature another Mike Pannett text on the whole thing. We've got some other fine Yorkshire authors. Valerie Wood is is there, and Alison Littlewood, as well as Karen Maitland, Melvin Bragg, and of course Doctor Who Celebration Day with Terence Dix, Graham Harper, Richard Franklin, and a Dalek, which I think is me, actually. It's a different guy entirely. So that's pretty much it for the April Book of the Month. Again, a reminder, you can listen again. If you've been listening live now, you can always go to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. Go to the Book of the Month section on the left-hand column, click on those, and you can have lots of them in all sorts of ways. So for the moment, I'd be interested to see what Jill Prowse actually makes of this. We were going to sort of edit her pieces in, but I suspect she'd probably like it, really. I mean, that's normally the sort of thing. I think I'll be outvoted on this one, but yeah, ultimately I'd sort of... Is this next one inspiration? No, best not give anything away, really.
Actually, to look on the cover of the next one, you'll think it was a real girly read, but it isn't. There is some quite serious issues.
You need to get in touch with my inner self.
No, I think he'll... I hope you enjoy it.
Sure we will. For the moment, Rob Nichols, Jill Prowse, and you, dear listener, thank you.
From Airwolf, Magnum PI, and Saint Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.